You're listening to Mixing Mindsets. I'm Andrew Blank.
And I'm Eric Navrosky, and we hope you find some value out of these conversations about lifestyle, music, and more.
What's going on, guys? We're back with another episode of Mixing Mindsets. Today, we're with Anthony Picatagio.
Yo.
We're talking about getting shows. Anthony, what's going on, man?
Hi, guys. Happy to be here.
It's good. We've been scheduling this for a while. Yeah, we finally got around to it.
Very long time.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally are
like
doing
months.
It. I'm excited.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe like a month or two.
Right. It's been a little bit.
Yeah.
But the topic we wanted to talk about today is you have like this big goal where you want to make like, I guess more so like a collective of like
network.
Yeah. You want to build a network of musicians and artists and creatives and stuff like that. And you want to see them succeed in every way, shape and form, really. But I guess that all starts with like getting them out there.
Sure. Absolutely.
And you yourself have been doing this for quite some time. And I heavily applaud what you do. I see you playing almost all the time, everywhere you can. And that's super admirable.
Thank you. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
You get shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're a guy that gets shows.
Yeah. That's like the bottom line, you know, how do you go get your shows? It's interesting because, funny story, the way it all started, the very first show I ever got.
Yes.
I walked into a bar and I was like, this is what I do and can do.
Yeah.
Can I play?
Right.
And they kind of were like, yeah, so there's a spot next month, or if you want, there's a cancellation tomorrow and you could have it. And I like wiped the sweat from my forehead and I'm like, tomorrow it is. Like,
yeah.
Let's go for it.
Let's just do it.
But I think it's important to, you know, you have to understand what you're trying to sell.
And, yes.
You know, it's like a brand.
Did you sell yourself that first time, or was this a free gig?
It wasn't a free gig. I got paid for it.
Ooh.
But like I walked
first
in there.
First time and getting paid.
Yeah, right? Like I was very lucky. It's kind of crazy. Like I feel like a lot of people don't get that.
And right.
After that, I ended up still playing free shows at times. Like you kind of just do it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
right.
Not that first one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just walked in there and like I spent a long time prior to it just practicing and understanding like what my set would kind of be like.
Right.
And I walked in there and just was confident in who I was and what I could do.
Yeah.
You know, shook his hand, made eye contact, was polite, you know, and
I think there's something about being personable.
Yeah.
That like a lot of people tend, like as simple as it is, some people just don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
That like sometimes all you need to be is a friendly face.
Right.
And that's enough for someone to be like, wow, that seems like a really genuine guy. I'm going to give him a shot.
That's kind of what it was. And that's kind of how he kind of explained it, you know, down the road a little bit. And he was like, you just came in, you seemed cool, nice. You know, you weren't like, you looked normal. Like we kind of just went for it.
Yeah.
And similarly, that happened with other places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I walked into a couple other bars around town and, you know, same story. Like one of the other ones was actually Franklin's on the square.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah.
I walked in there and I was like, I've played a few shows, but like I'm from Mountaintop and I play these songs and that songs and try to appeal to people. And he was like, let's go for it, man.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, it just kind of worked out and then was able to build a relationship from there.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's building your network right there.
100%.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I definitely have a strong interest in educating people and showing them and teaching them like what kind of works, because I've been fortunate enough to experience that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we all have like bad situations that don't work out, of course, but like,
right.
I feel like I've been fortunate in my situations that have worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So things that work for me could work for other people.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I feel like I'm in a position to kind of just share that knowledge.
I feel like it all comes back to this like genuineness that we just talked about. Like at the source, you're just you yourself have this genuineness to you, and this authenticity, and you're just a really nice guy.
Wow.
So,
that's
I mean, right? Like, I don't mean to like hype it up. It's just it's the truth. But like, I think that resonates with so many people, and the fact that like you come in with pure good intentions and be like, hey, I want to help you. It's just it's a beautiful thing.
Try to, you know,
I think
people
don't put enough effort into that relationship and into the personal side of things, into the you go and you meet a bar owner and cool, you ask to play, but then you get to know who that person is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, guy or girl, how's your family? Like,
right.
You know, like how's X, Y, Z? When you start making these personal connections, like people start noticing that, you know, and getting a show becomes, okay, cool. I play at bar A. But then bar A owner knows bar B owner and is like, hey, that guy's, you know, pretty cool. You know, go over there, because he actually took time to care about who I am.
Right.
You know, as a person, you know, as whoever, you know, whoever that person is, you know, and I think like that speaks volumes. That is a very difficult thing to learn and to achieve. I remember being a lot younger. I was like 18, maybe 18, 19. And I was first going off to college, and I noticed in myself that I had really bad personable skills, I guess, because of my dad. Cause we went to go see a professional drummer play at a local college. Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, we're going to go up, we're going to say hi to her, we're going to talk to, you know, we're going to talk to her. And I just wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, right. I was terrified, I guess. Instead of pushing myself out of my comfort zone, I just kind of clammed up and I just didn't do it.
Yeah.
And then he screamed at me. And then, you know, it was a lot of just like, yo, that was as wrong as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, you made yourself look like, a jerk. You didn't meet somebody. And it really took that to heart. And I started thinking like, dang, I should have done that.
Yeah.
You know, and to recognize it in yourself, recognize the fact that you might not be at that place yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe why you're not getting shows, you know, why you're not quite there. To recognize it is extremely difficult, and to change it, maybe even harder.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, so like I came from this place where I was not personable. I didn't, you know, talk with people. I didn't develop relationships. And it wasn't until I recognized it in myself that I was like, oh,
yeah,
I've got to change this.
Yes. Yeah.
That I started getting out there and I started realizing, oh, now people are coming to me for the shows. Mm-hmm. I went out to a show, I played, you know, in my band, and then I met somebody, and instead of just being like, okay, I played my set, goodbye, I left, I stuck around and I started talking with people and developed a relationship with them. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're asking me to play a show back. And then you go play that show, and then you do the same thing over. And it's, I feel like to do this music thing that we try to do, you can't do it without being personable.
Right.
You can't get shows without being personable.
I feel like, this message is definitely directed to that younger introverted crowd.
Yeah.
I literally remember, because I was in that crowd. I did everything completely wrong in the beginning.
Stay away.
Yeah, well, legitimately, I didn't know anyone. I didn't know what to do. When we started Send Request, I was 17. This triggered in my brain.
Oh, yeah.
I was 17 years old. I did not know a single person at all involved in music. So I did everything completely wrong. And I remember we recorded like our first song, and I spammed it all over Facebook on like people's walls and stuff like that. And I'm like, I look back and I'm like, wow, I got a lot of people hate me right off the bat.
But you know what's so funny is like you're absolutely right, Eric. Like you have to come out of your comfort zone, and you can't be afraid of that. And it's like, you know, we all have those feelings. No, you know, it's not easy being vulnerable, of course. But
it took a while to learn it.
It really does. And like I've been at this now for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And probably within the last 2, I finally am like comfortable.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you would never think it, but like I had, you know, I'm fortunate enough, like my parents taught me, you know, to be myself and be confident.
Yeah.
And like, so I'd walk into these places and like, I'm sweating, don't get me wrong,
right,
but I'm still like, this is what I want. And that's more powerful than, you know,
should overpower your fear. But dude, especially when you're younger.
Yes.
Like if you're 17, 18, 19, 20, like even in early 20s, you walk up to a bar owner, that bar owner is probably in their 40s or 50s. Mm-hmm. And then who knows what they look like, if they're threatening visually or whatever.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you, as this 19-year-old kid, has to go pitch and sell yourself to somebody who's significantly older and has their stuff figured out for the most part, you know. Mm-hmm. That's like horrifying.
The idea of it really is, right? Yeah.
It's horrifying. Yeah. And like, you'll literally never get over that until you do it.
Right.
And then do it again.
Yes. I know so many people that can't get over that fear.
Yeah.
And I've worked with them and we've stopped working and you know, that holds you back. And it doesn't matter how talented you are because, you know, look at like a lot of people who really play like so much, or even in like the professional musicians, like sure, like people are at a professional level, but like they're there because they weren't afraid.
Exactly.
You know, they weren't afraid to put themselves out there and be vulnerable and be scared and overcome that.
Yeah.
You know, and because it's always going to be kind of scary, I think. Oh, you know? Always. Like that doesn't really change.
Like I think that fear eventually turns into like fear / excitement.
Right. But it's like channeling it so much. And like harnessing it and using it to your benefit, I think.
Yes.
And that's like what I've always done. And then to kind of comment on, you said you spammed everybody.
Yes.
I used to, you know, everybody here knows who Kyle Demko is. And I used to work with him. I work with him again.
Yep.
He is notorious for like, dude, I'll text everybody. And he's like, I'm sorry I'm annoying, but I'm telling you to come to the show. And it works. People come because they're like, you're not actually annoying, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like you're just being yourself. You're nice, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And like, but that stuff works. And that's another thing people are afraid of. Like,
yeah,
I've
but it sounds
with
like you personally... He puts a personal touch on it.
That, which
I think, I was
spamming on strangers.
In the wrong direction. Yeah, or in the right direction from if you just like carbon copy the same message, send it to 20 different, excuse me, 200 different people.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, that just happened to me the other day. Mm-hmm. Some random person that's on my friends list that I have absolutely no idea was in one of those Twitch competitions and just messaged me a carbon copy thing, and I'm like, dude,
you could tell.
Yeah, like, I was like, you could tell it's carbon copy.
It would start off like, hey, and it's like, not address you at all.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, if you would have taken a couple seconds to just say, hey, Eric, like, you know we don't talk, but we're friends on Facebook. You know, I'm looking to just, you know, we're in a competition. It would really help me out. Like, just a little bit of personal touch there.
Like, you need to add some of that.
Make
like,
me feel like you want me.
Would have
feel special.
Made me actually want to go out of my way and do something.
Yeah.
Now, funny enough, my Twitch got hacked, so I don't do any. Well, not hacked. Excuse me. Twitch used to be curse. Was bought out by Twitch. It's a whole long story. I can't get on Twitch anymore. So anytime somebody asks me to do a Twitch thing, I'm just like, yeah, I can't get on there.
Like the way my Twitch account is set up.
It's a total mess. I tried to make new ones and they're like, this account's already used. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
But seriously though, like if you would have just added just a little bit of personal care into it. And I think that's the same.
It goes that much further.
Like it's easier to carbon copy on text, but I think that is felt and seen if you do it in person too. If you kind of just go and you're just like, and you're like a robot, you sort of give your speech. Well, then the guy's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But then, you know, and you're going to fail at it more than likely.
Yes.
You know, like, I guess you were one of the lucky ones who
went in. I was so lucky, man. I can't even say it enough.
Man, this guy is sweating bullets. Like, I should probably help him out.
but it's interesting you bring that up too, because, you know, like, you know, the personal touch, it's like people ask me like, you know, how did you get shows? What can I do to go get a show? I want to play. And it's like, I'm like, walk into a bar, you know, instead of Facebook messaging them, show your face, shake their hand, look them in the eye, you know, like it makes a difference. They could put a face to it and then you kind of go from there.
Exactly.
You know, or, you know, the Facebook message thing works very well too, but sometimes you get ignored, you know, they're running a restaurant or a business, like they don't have time for this, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to be persistent and respectful at the same time. And that's doable, but like, you know, I tell people, I'm like, try walking into a place and just that one, that initial, you know, meeting, it'll go a long
way.
You
want to play at that restaurant? Walk in,
show
have
them,
a meal,
prove them. Like, go spend money, you know, like show
like,
them,
hey,
that you care, you know, and it's meaningful. Like, you know, it is personal, personal. You want this for yourself and you kind of want it for them. You're there to help them too. That's another thing. Like I'll kind of be like, you know, well, I could play this song and that song and this song. You know, what's your crowd like? What who comes here?
Yeah,
right.
You know, not I only play 90s music or pop punk, and it's like, well, that's
exactly
what I do, and that's what you're gonna get. No, you know, whatever. But
walk
you know,
into a dive bar and start playing like Elvis or something.
Yeah, right. You might go into a bar and it's a country bar, and then you're playing Blink-182, and it's like, sure, one person might like that, but like if you also then do country, I don't know. You know, you get everybody, and that's what
covers Blink-182.
That's what these bars want. Those are my three favorite bands. that's what they want, though. You know, they want to hire somebody that will please all of their customers, because that's what they care about.
Exactly.
You know? So,
so you, I want to touch on something you mentioned. Being online, if you're not in person, but being persistent while also being respectful, I struggle with that so much. Every time I'm writing an email or text or something, I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm annoying. Sure. I'm being annoying. Sure. And like, I don't want to bother this person. And like, I haven't gotten over that. Like, have you gotten over that?
I think about it every time, but I don't care. Right? I'm like, they're going to deal with it.
It's,
no,
it's just a fine line. No, truthfully. Yeah.
That's what it is. You know,
it's
what I
mean? Like, sometimes you need to enter that realm of spammy in order to, for anyone to even see the message.
Yeah.
Like, someone needs to be like, wow, this is getting on my nerves. Like, as I'm scrolling, but that's like, wow, they actually saw it.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, hey, I'm sorry, I never saw it.
Period. I mean, think about this. Yeah. I mean, you guys are both married, but like, when you're chasing somebody that you are attracted to and you want to be your significant other,
yeah,
that effort goes a long way.
Yes.
You know, sometimes
I'm tapping into one of
You remember way back when?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, if you message a bar, hey, you know, this is who I am, this is what I do, I would love to play there. Like, let me know if you have any dates. And you always get that automated message. It's like, thank you for reaching out.
You trying
out
to get a date with a bar?
No, but like, you know.
This is great.
But like, you know, then
this is great. Bar Franklin. Advice, this is great. Relationship. Hey, beautiful.
It goes for both because they leave you on red both ways, you know? But,
hey, beautiful.
That's a good way to start, actually.
Facebook. Some guy behind the Franklin.
Can I serenade you? You can serenade both parties here, man. It works for both. This is dating advice, actually. I shouldn't be giving, actually, at all.
This is all a metaphor or whatever for dating.
Yeah.
Right. We're a lifestyle podcast, too.
That's what we are.
Take this information.
Exactly. Do with it what you will.
Yeah. Go and spam your crush.
We're giving general advice wherever you apply it. That's up to you.
Oh gosh.
But seriously, like, you message a bar and it's like they probably won't answer you that first time, or it's I'll get back to you, you know.
Right.
How many people probably message a venue on a Friday night and it's like they don't realize they're working.
Exactly.
It's Friday night, it's the busiest night of the week. But you know, what I do and what others can do if you're trying to, you know, get in a spot is you send them that message, introduce yourself, give a little information about who you are.
Yes.
You know, what you do. You know, explain how long you could play, what you're going to play.
Yep.
Right. And then it's like, okay, in a week or so, if they don't answer, you know, hey, I'm just following up.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'd love to play there. Mm-hmm. Let me know. They don't answer you, maybe give them a phone call. Cause what it is, cause you're right. It's, you can't help but think like, I don't want to be annoying. I don't want to seem beggy.
Right.
Yep. But like on the, to kind of counter those thoughts, what I think is, again, like, they're running the business. They're so busy. Like, I'm not even on their radar, you know? So I want to put in that effort. I want to show them that I am interested, you know, and I'm not like some Joe Schmo.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to know that I want this, you know? And, and I think that is what is important, because that's what they recognize, that makes you kind of stand out. You know, if I message you once and then they never hear from you again, it's like, okay, well, whatever.
Yeah.
But your name starts popping up.
At the foundational level, you know, like, you make a couple connections here, a couple connections there. All of a sudden, there's buzz around you.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you have people reaching out to you.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard you played here. Like, the crowd went well. Let's come down here. And, you know, like, it just bounces off each other. Mm-hmm. What lights that fire is that, like, hey, I walked up to that guy at the bar and just was like, hey, do you guys do music here? I'd love to play sometime. Yeah. Like, it's how it starts,
man. And it's like, you know, you don't have to overthink it. You could kind of like write a little, come up with like a little script, you know, just like, and you're going to say the same thing to everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And some will stick, some won't. And that's just how it is.
Right.
But like, one thing leads to another, you know?
Now, what about the flip side? When we're talking about basically promoters, what about like the fans? We'll call them fans or listeners. Or whatever, like, you know, do you stay? Do you retain listeners? Like, I think if somebody talked to me after a show, I'm more than likely going to be like, hey, that guy or gal was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, so, absolutely. You know. And you're absolutely, that's a great question, because that's just as important, you know? It's one thing to get in the door and get the gig, but then, like, if you're boring or, like, you're just not resonating with anybody, it's like, okay, well, now you're not going to probably come back. So you have to now think, you know, how do I kind of tailor my set or my show to be fun? How can I get back here? So, like, some of the things I do and some of the people I work with, the things we do is, you know, you want to just talk and it's like kind of the same as talking to the person who's going to book you. You know, you get up there, you play a song or two, you introduce yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you should stare people in the eye, you know, like, make it a connection, you know, like, you know, you could always give a little information about whatever you're playing and why this song's cool, like whatever.
This is called All the Small Things.
Yeah. I love this song. You know, and then the other thing too is you have to like know your audience. So like, you know, if you're playing again, you know, for a group of people that are probably your parents' age, play songs that you think they'd like. Yeah. That's another big part.
It becomes
part of
a generational thing, people, especially with that. Yep.
People want to, I know a lot of people, and I'm sure you guys too, like they're like, I want to play this and that's all I want to do. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, okay, well, you know, whereas me, like I go into a gig and it's like, you know, I like a lot of music, so I feel like I have a wide variety to pick from.
Yes.
But like, I don't play, every song I play isn't like, I love this song, I want to play this song.
Right.
I play songs that are like, okay,
yeah,
but I know that there's people there that are going to enjoy
it. There's
going to
be a handful of people there. They're like,
so
I'll suck
it
up. Song.
Exactly, yeah. Dude. And that's what resonates. So
and that's the difference between a working musician and a not working musician.
Dude, yeah. And then during your breaks, like you kind of said, like after somebody, you know, if you talk to a fan, it's like you take a break, you know, during your set, you go get a beer at the bar, you go sit down with your friends or your parents or whoever's there.
Yeah.
Say hello to somebody. You know, I see a lot of people singing along to some of the stuff I play. So I go, I saw you jamming. Like, I really appreciate that. That's cool. You know,
that right there is
simple.
Like you're in your conversation starter.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden
you have a network connection. You have possibly a friend. Like, it just makes the environment so much better.
Because the people who are watching you also want to like be a part of it in a way.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they want to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. They want to sing along.
Everyone has pure intentions. Like if you're up there, like you're up there performing, like people want to be encouraging and they want to be like, hey, I want to support this guy, however I can, especially in the moment.
Sure.
Like, especially, you know, like claps and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. People love doing that kind of stuff because they want to see you succeed. Yeah. Like,
even like, it's so funny. Like I'll bring up Kyle again. Like he sings Ride With Me.
Yeah.
It's like, who listens to Ride With Me in their free time probably these days? Nobody. But when you play that song, you hear that song, you hear like the must be the money part. Like you kind of just do it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you could kind of, again, tailor your set to do things like that. Like pick stupid sing-along songs that will be fun for people.
Yeah.
And those are the moments that get remembered, you know, as well as playing really cool songs.
Exactly.
I noticed too, like after, you know, we've been playing locally for like a decade at this point. And you go and you see, you know, 75 people in front of you and at a bar. And at first it's like, oh, you know, there's 75 people at this bar. But then eventually you're like, I know every single one of you.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, everyone here is a friend, you know, is a friend of mine or an acquaintance of some kind.
Yeah.
You know, like we just played the V spot in back in December, like the end of December. And
yeah, you did. I was there.
And it kind of happened there.
Yeah.
Where like, I remember going to the V spot and I was like, I don't know anybody. And I was nervous, of course, like even I'm still in that journey of pushing myself out of comfort zones, like on a daily, basically.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know anybody. And all of a sudden I walk in and I'm like, oh look, there's Kyle. Oh look, there's Anthony. Oh, you know, there's like all of these other people. And I'm like, oh, these are essentially like friends at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
and that immediately alleviates probably some of your nerves, you know, and some of that tension,
100%.
You know, familiar faces make it all the difference. And
it could be,
and it could be the people working there or the people that are just hanging out there.
A complete
side
note. I'm kind of a freak and I don't get stage fright ever.
That's awesome.
I literally never have.
Good.
I don't know why. I have no idea. But like when it comes to public speaking and like being on a stage, it just doesn't happen.
That's
so
awesome.
It's kind of sick.
And that's, it's kind of sick. That's great. Cause that's, I mean, dude, I know so many people like that struggle with it, you know, they'll get up there like and play in front of hundreds.
A learned thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that goes back to just, you have to not be afraid of it. Cause like you kind of just, whether it will happen or not, you just, like for me, I was like, one day it'll change. One day I'll be cool.
Click,
one day I'll get over
you
it.
You just have to do it.
And I'm just waiting for it. And then it kind of did happen for me. Like a couple of years ago, I started playing with this group and they were all way more nervous than I was. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I'm like,
You're like the leader of the pack in terms of like social.
Yeah, I'm like, I got to be cool for them.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not. But then I kind of like, you know, got used to that.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm not sweating like crazy at a show because I'm nervous, or just not finding, you know, stumbling over my words because I'm nervous. Like, and all of a sudden things clicked and I've been lucky to kind of keep that going.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
Even after the band
yes.
and what I, with what I do now. Mm-hmm. And And yeah, I mean, it'll happen. It's just, you have to know that. You just have to trust the process.
Yeah, trust the process and do it. And I think, like, to circle back literally to the beginning of this conversation, we were talking about introverted versus extroverted. I feel like that's a common misconception to use, like, those phrases.
Right.
Because, like, I think you need to be social and personable, but I guess, to my knowledge, introverted versus extroverted means the way that, like, you recharge in, like, social batteries and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, you can still be an introverted person and achieve this.
Absolutely.
Like, you might achieve this and then go home and be like, yo, I need to be alone.
Right.
And I need to recharge my social battery.
That's exactly.
And that's fine. And you're, so you're introverted, but you can still be outgoing. Yes. You can still be there.
I release 100% of the battery in those social scenarios, and then I go back to my hole.
And so I just, like, just to clear that up, like, I think this can be done with any personality type. Right. Like, you don't have to be recharged by social situations. Maybe it does drain you a lot, but you can still do it. You can still recharge later the way that you do it. You know, but
I agree 100%. I think what it comes down to is, like, you know, it's about kind of like what are your goals? Like, what do you want out of this? Like, do you want to be a huge musician and make good money and just be successful and play?
Right.
Well, you have to understand that and go for it. You know what I mean?
Way of the road.
Yeah. Cause you know, if you're an introvert or an extrovert, that's just who you are. But like, that can't stop you.
Right.
You know,
100%. The process is the same for everyone.
If it's something you want.
You're in the same fight as everyone else.
Exactly, dude. That's the other thing that I constantly remind myself. It's like, this isn't just me. Like, we're all kind of experiencing this. And the more musicians you meet, like, you get that. You understand that. Like, you go see some huge local band and you're like, they're amazing. There's no way. Like, they look how natural. And then you talk to them and they're like, dude.
And they'll tell you, hey, you and I are in the same struggle, pal.
I got to go hang out with my cat.
I got to get out of here.
It's crazy. You know, like, or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you realize you're not alone. And, like, you know, and then you start to, you know, apply that to your own stuff and kind of go from there. So
this is great. We're hitting the mark.
Yeah, we are.
I know. It happens, like, so fast.
Nah, that's
so fast. But is there anything that you want to promote and or plug social media,
shout outs,
whatever. Anything.
Yeah, what are you involved in?
Just look me up on Facebook and Instagram, Anthony Picatagio, Picatagio. Got to do it. and you'll see what I'm up to. I'm in a couple bands, playing by myself, playing some duo stuff.
You get around.
It's all on there, man.
You get around.
I
get around,
you are dude.
I try to play a lot, and you know, I try to be helpful too, and I want to be like a resource, you know. So
for sure,
I invite people to ask me questions. You know, come see me. I work at Music Around. Come see me at Music Around.
Hit me up on Facebook. We've talked about this. You're the guy.
I guess I'm the guy
in Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah,
PA.
Yeah. There it is.
Reach out to Anthony Picatagio, ladies and gentlemen.
I think, you know, it's all. I try to be DIY. You know.
Yeah.
More power to you if you could do it by yourself.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know? So
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.